You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Bilaam's will, he wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, so he was hard to curse. He ended up blessing Klal Yisrael, which is the Yad Hashem controlling the Kayach HaNevuah of every human being who is a real prophet in this world. One of the beliefs we have as part of our beliefs that whatever Navi is Misnabe, Shokol Divrei Neviim Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the Kayach HaNevuah, both for real Jewish prophets and real non-Jewish prophets. Hashem controls them. And we see very, very clearly in Pasha's Balak, how Hashem controls totally the Kayach HaNevuah and the pronouncements being made by Bilaam at that point in time. And in his various Nevuahs and statements that he made, there is a major, major statement mentioned by him, which we're going to analyze today, concerning the ultimate redemption of Klal Yisrael at the end of time. One of the Ani Mamins, which we believe in and which we say every day for those who say the Ani Mamins, I just want to mention it, is that Ani Mamin b'muna shleima b'bias ha-Mashiach, I believe the Mashiach is going to come, afo pi sheyisva meya, even though there is seems to be a delay, I believe each and every day the possibility for Mashiach to come and redeem us and cause the ultimate redemption as forecast in the words of Tanakh and the words of Torah Shabbat Peh, that event is going to take place in a tangible, substantive way. So we're dealing today with what are the parameters of the ultimate final redemption of Klal Yisrael and the ultimate redemption for the world at large, bringing us to a new tekufa, a new period of peace and tranquility and love amongst all members of society at large. Klal Yisrael ultimately reaching their pinnacle, becoming the Am HaNivchar, becoming Am HaKadosh, the Am Segula, being recognized as such by the Umas HaOlam, and likewise serving as an Ar LaGoyim, a spiritual educational mentor to the world at large, the Beis HaMikdash being built and serving as the only place on the face of this earth that the people of the world are going to come, ki Beis HaBeis Tefilah Chol Kari Kol Amim, the Beis HaMikdash will be the only place even a non-Jewish world goes, from no matter where you are from the world, to come to pray directly in front of God. Even non-Jews are allowed to bring certain korbanot to the Beis HaMikdash, which have halachically, they are kosher animals, they don't have any types of deficiencies. We are obligated to bring these korbanos ola, as part of the korbanos brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam, in the actual last chapter, Hilchas Malachim, talks about the incredible amount of respect and covet that will be given to the Jewish people at the end of time. The fact that everybody's going to be a monotheist, only believing in the Rabbanu Shalom B'chavad V'Atzmo, rejecting every other religion that developed over thousands of years in the world at large. Everybody will recognize there's only one God in this world, the God that the Jewish people worshipped from antiquity is the only God that everybody in this world, Jew and non-Jew, are halakhically allowed to worship and show total dedication to. The Goyim have seven mitzvahs to observe in their B'nai Noach religion, and we as Jews have to observe 613 mitzvahs, as Chazal tell us. But at the end of days, there's no question there's going to be spiritual interaction and discussion between us and the non-Jewish world. We'll be in Arla Goyim, we'll be leading them closer and closer to come closer to Hashem, not to convert them to Judaism, but to make sure that they are 100% perfect B'nai Noach, observing what they're required to do, and we're also going to make sure that Achenu B'nai Yisrael will do tshuva and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and observe what they're required to do according to Halacha. It's going to be a unique period of time. But what I want to reveal to you today is that there is, in fact, a major debate, a very, very serious debate, of exactly how this period of the ultimate messianic redemption and the ultimate rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and all the events that are mentioned by Chazal throughout Amidrashim, throughout the Psukim, how these events, in fact, are going to take place. What's going to be the ultimate blueprint for the ultimate redemption of Klal Yisrael and the world at large at the end of days? And even though we believe in this redemption taking place, not everybody knows or understands that there is a debate in Chazal concerning how this redemption is going to take place. What's going to be the format of this specific redemptive process? So therefore, I want to share that with you today. And then we're going to analyze what's going on in the world, which one of the two options seems to be operative in today's historical period in time. Now, the fact of the matter is, we know for a fact that Chazal told us from the very beginning of Briyat HaOlam, the Rabbanu Shalom said that there are three tekufos of the 6,000 years of the existence of the earth, and the first 2,000 are going to be a period of test, trial and test, to see who's going to become the forebear and the progenitor of God's chosen people in the future. They call it the 2,000 years of Tohu, when ultimately Avram and his Mishpacha were picked to be the progenitors because of the unique dedication they had to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to his Hashkafas and to the Torahs that were given to them. So at that juncture, from that period on, there was another 2,000 years from Avram till after the Churban Bayis Sheni, in which the development of Am HaTorah came into existence, the development of Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebapeh, and the spreading of these concepts throughout the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world to influence and impact upon society, the ethics and morals that the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to exist in the world at large, in the Briah that he created, and a Briah that was created because Torah is going to serve as the major source of ethics and morals for every member of the world at large. And after we come to the completion of those 2,000 years of Torah development, we're then going to have what's called the 2,000 years of Mashichias, mentioned in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I want to share with you what that expression means. The 2,000 years of Mashichias. What does that mean? I mean, Mashiach's Tukufu is only going to be 2,000 years? Or is there a deeper meaning in that expression? What I'm going to show you today, based upon a very famous and powerful Maimon Chazal, is that the Mashiach's Tukufa is going to be, which means the ultimate tekufa of redemption and geula, and the end of days is going to be more than 2,000 years, according to the Midrashim. But what it does mean is that there is a period of time after the first 4,000 of this years of this world have been completed, 2,000 of Tohu, 2,000 of Torah. We're now coming to post Churban Bayis Sheni. The 2,000 years during which, as we're going to see very shortly, the Mashiach has an ability to come, but it depends upon certain factors. And what those factors are, whether the Mashiach comes early in the 2,000-year period of time, or the Mashiach comes later on because of other factors pushing it off into ultimately the end of the 2,000 years, those 2,000 years would declare the time period during which the Mashiach can come, but whether it happens early in the 2,000-year period or later in the 2,000-year period will depend, as I'm going to show you very shortly, in the spiritual level of Klal Yisrael during that specific time frame of those 2,000 years. Now, the Gemara that spells this out, the very famous Gemara that everybody talks about, I mentioned this Gemara many, many times over the years that I talked about various topics. The Gemara tells us that the Navi that pointed out that there are two types of Geula forecasts made by Chazal is a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph. And what basically speaking the Gemara tells us is that Yeshayahu HaNavi used the expression of Be'ita Achishena. The Mashiach will come at the proper time, The Mashiach will come Achi Shana even at a quicker framework in time. And the Gemara says, what are these two time periods referring to? So the Gemara says very simply, Zachu of Klaisa shows spiritual improvement and enhancement and a willingness to come close to Hashem and do tshuva. Then Achishena, the Mashiachis, and the ultimate redemption of Klaisa will come at an earlier period in the 2,000-year Zutakufa of when Mashiach can come. Lo Zachu, if Klai Yisrael are not spiritually worthy, have not done corporate tshuva, and the majority of Jews are not involved in Shmiras Torah and Mitzvahs, the Mashiach is going to come and redemption is going to take place, but the Gemara says, by Yeshaya HaNavi Be'ita, it will take place at the ultimate time, which means at the end of the 2,000 years of Mashiachis, that's when the Mashiach will come, whether we are ultimately worthy or not. And the psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, which deal with this interesting phenomenon, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem us if we're not worthy of redemption? So the psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, Parak Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, give a very tangible and substantive answer to this very important question. What the psukim tell us is the Rabbeinu Shem tells Klal Yisrael, when I made a promise to the Jewish people going back to time of antiquity that ultimately you're going to inherit Eretz Israel as your inheritance forever, this was promised in the famous Bris Bein HaBesarim, going back to Pashas Lech Lecha. It was mentioned over and over and over again in the Chumash and later on in Tanakh about the ultimate inheritance of Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Israel. In fact, in the Lashonos of Geula, which are mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, we talk about the Dalel Lashonos of Geula, the four levels of Geula, which are mentioned there, the Hotzeisi, the Hitzalti, the Ga'alti, the Lakachti, and those are the basic celebrations of Geula. We demonstrate on the night of Pesach by drinking four cups of Yayin, corresponding to the Dalel Lashonos of Geula. But what many people are not aware of, unfortunately speaking, is that if you look further in Parshas Va'era, you will find a very interesting fact, that they're not just four Lashonos of Geula. There are, in fact, six Lashonos of Geula. The fifth one is, Ve'hevesi eschem el ha'ores, ashi nasasi esyodi l'seiso Aram Yitzhak v'Yaakov. Hashem says, I'm going to bring you into the land that I promised and swore to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So we're going back, quite obviously, to the famous promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And the sixth Lashon of Geula is, Nasati Osam Lechem Marasha Ani Hashem. I'm going to give this land to you as a Marasha Am Hashem. Marasha means an internal inheritance and heritage of the Jewish people. Once that is activated, that clause, Eretz Israel will be in our possession for eternity. The only other phenomenon that's called the Marasha B'Lashon HaTorah is Torah itself, Torah Tzivulana Moshe, Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. Only Torah is called the Marasha, and Eretz Israel is called the Marasha. And the same way Torah is eternal, will not change, it's with Klal Yisrael for the end of time. Likewise, Eretz Israel will be given to the Jews for eternal existence to the end of time. But if we're not worthy, why should we be given it? So over here, the Rabbeinu Shem says in Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Hashem says, Lamani Eseh, that since I made a divine promise, when Hashem makes a positive divine promise, the Yesodis Ares, as mentioned by the Rambam and others, Hashem is never chozer upon that promise. Ultimately, he fulfills it at some point in time. He says, Lamani Eseh, I'm going to make sure that promise is fulfilled even if you're not worthy, and it's going to be a concept of Be'ita at the end of time. Why? Because of the Shem Hashem being Mekudosh, the sanctified Hashem's name, that when he makes a promise, especially to his Am HaNivchar, he carries it out in totality with total fulfillment, and therefore for Hashem's Kiddush Hashem, Echil Hashem, depends upon the ability to fulfill his promise of the eternal Marasha of Eretz Yisrael till the end of time. So if that's the case, the concept of us having Eretz Israel as our Jewish homeland was not only promised in the Bris Bein HaBasarim, mentioned over and over again to Yitzhak and to Yaakov, but as part of the sixth Lashonos of Geula that will basically demonstrate the ultimate fulfillment of all the promises Hashem promised us, going back to the promises to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the concept of bringing us in the land, and ultimately the promise of giving us Nesina, ultimate connection, Yerusha, inheritance, eternal connection to the land forever and forever. The Chasam Sofer conjectures that it could be, when we come to Yemos HaMashiach, since there's going to be six Lashonos of Geula, not just four, we might, on the night of Pesach, drink six cups of wine. So for those who are wine drinkers, you have a very interesting party to get ready for, that you're going to drink on the night of Pesach, perhaps, six cup of wines, because the last two will correspond to Ve'hevesi Eschem and Asati Asolechem, mentioned in Pashas Va'era. Now, with that in mind, I want to describe what are the differences between the Gula Asida that is done according to Chazal in an Achishena, in a sped-up format, and what's the phenomenon of a Gula that takes place, Be'ita. Now, once again, remember the Gemara says, if Klaus or Lazochen are spiritually worthy, Achishena, it will take place in the beginning of the 2,000 years of Mashiachias. If Klal Yisrael alo zachu, if they're not spiritually worthy, there's a lot of assimilation and acculturation, the Gula will take place, but it's going to be Be'ita, it's going to be towards the end of the 6,000 period. Now what is fascinating, and this is the connection we have to Pashas Balak, is that in fact, in Pashas Balak, this week's Pasha Shavua, we in fact find that Bilam HaRasha, towards the end, when he saw that he couldn't curse Klal Yisrael, and the Baruch Hashem wanted him to bless Klal Yisrael, and he basically told the people who brought him the history of what's going to happen at the end of time. So he says that Nu'um Shemeh Imre Kel V'Yedei Das Elyon, that I'm going to basically tell you over what I heard from Hashem, who know, and I know the mindset of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Machzai Shaka Yechzai Nofa Gulat Nayim, and what was the Nevuah? So this is in Pasha's Balak, this week's Pasha. Listen very carefully. Perich Chavdalad, for those who want to look it up, we're now going to be reading Pasuk Yitzayim. It says in the Pasuk, Erenu V'lo Ata, I see the ultimate redemption of the Jews taking place, but not now. Asherenu, I also see it for Lokarov, it's not that near. Darach Keichem Yaakov, that a star will basically come forth from Yaakov, come Shevet mid Yisrael, and a Shvatim of Klaius will come up. Machatz Pasei Moav, Kakel Kopenei Sheis, it then describes how Klaius will militarily defeat all of the enemies of the Jewish people, Hoy Edom Yeresha, Hoy Yeresha Seyer, Oyv Yisrael, Oy Sechoyol, that all of the people who are against us, including good old Amalek, are going to find their ultimate punishment. It says upon Amalek, in fact, our explicit pasuk is part of the Nevuah. It says, Vayar, Es Amalek, Yisra Moshalo, Vayomar, Reshis Goyam Amalek. They were the first nation to officially attack the Jews. Achriso ade ovet. At the end, they will be totally eradicated and destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Klal Yisrael will be part of that process itself in a total military defeat of that specific adversary. We therefore see, according to Chazal, that there is a concept of two geulos over here. And what, in fact, or Chaim HaKadosh says in this specific pasuk, the Arenu V'lo Ata is referring to the Geula of Achishena. I see it in the future, but it's not now when I'm saying the Geula, but that's going to take place pretty early in the Mashiach period, when he said the following, Asherenu V'lo Karav, that is referring to the Geula Asida that's going to be Be'ita all the way towards the end of the Mashiach period. It's not Karov, it's not near. The difference being is that if it's a miraculous, if it is going to be a Geula Zachu, Dorkecha Miyakov is going to be miraculous, like stars flying in the skies, very, very supernatural phenomenon. And if, in fact, basically speaking, it's going to be Be'ita with a Lo Zachu, come shaping yourself, it's going to be more Bederech Teva, through human warfare rather than ultimate divine warfare on a supernatural way. To say it very simply, and to summarize what I just said to you, if we are Zoche, we're going to have a supernatural coming of Mashiach, Nisan Niflos, even greater than Nisan Niflos that took place at the time of our Yisias Mimitzrayim, things shall be Derech HaTeva. The Gemara, in fact, in Masechtis, Sanhedrin describes it, what's the meaning of a supernatural of Zochu? He says, or Anani Shemaya Kabarinish Asa. Men flying in the sky, people coming in unusual supernatural ways when it comes to returning to Eretz Israel, etc., etc. That's going to be, if it's going to be a miraculous type of redemption, a Zochu, Achishen will be early in the period, it'll be miraculous, supernatural. That's a simon of a Gula Shezochu. And what's a Gula Shelo Zachu? The Gemara compares it to Oni Reichav al Hamar. It's like a poor man riding on a donkey. You feel every bump of the road is a bumpy road. It's sometimes you have ups, sometimes you have downs, sometimes you have successes, sometimes you have failure. It's Bederech HaTeva, it goes according to natural law. And that's a Gula Shelo Zachu. So that is one major difference between a Gula Shezachu Lo Zachu. It's going to be supernatural or Bederech HaTeva. But there's another major dimension.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
If it's a Gula Shezachu, then we're going to have Hashem intervene directly, and we are going to have such a miraculous type of redemption. The fact is, we're not going to need the help of anybody else on the face of this earth to help for that to take place. That the same way Hashem says, I redeemed you from Mitzrayim, with not even the help of angels, let alone the help of anybody else on the face of this earth. So that's a total miraculous, divine, Shalei B'derech HaTeva type of redemption. Okay? When it comes, however, to the redemption of Klal Yisrael, if we're not Zorcha, a Be'ita type of redemption, there we're going to need, and I'm going to use now the expression used by Rishonim, we're going to need Rishon HaMalchus, the non-Jewish leaders of the world, to help the Jewish people and facilitate their return to Eretz Israel using the laws of normal geopolitical activities. We're going to need a vote, as we're going to see later on, ultimately the UN vote and the other votes that preceded it, by the non-Jewish world helping us and facilitating our return to Eretz Israel at that specific point in time. So, to say it very succinctly, a Gula Shezachu is a Gula that's done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chod B'atzmo, and no other human being or other government or entity on the face of this earth can stop it, nor is there any need for their help. A Gula Shelo Zachu, the Jews are going to have to, B'derech HaTeva, through geopolitical manipulation and lobbying, have Rishi and Hamachus, the Goyim, helping us and facilitating this specific return. And therefore, my first major point to make to you today is that the ultimate redemption, whether it's going to be a miraculous one or basically a Biderech Teva, a natural one, the simanim are going to be the levels of miraculous events taking place to facilitate the ultimate redemptive process. If it is supernatural, you're going to see Nisan Neflos that perhaps are even greater than those of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem B'chod V'yatzma will facilitate it because of us chuyos of being Zocher, being Shemit Terev V'mitzvahis. If, however, you see that Klal Yisrael returns with the help of the Rishon HaMalchus, the non-Jewish world, being the political and geopolitical manipulators and participants in the actual facilitation of the Jews returning, that will be a simin, it's a simin shelo golu, a simin shelo zachu, a gula b'derech HaTeva, using the umas olam to accomplish this specific task. So these are two forecasts. Both are considered redemptions of Klal Yisrael. Both are concepts that were put into the divine plan from the beginning of Briyat HaOlam, and Yeshaya HaNavi is the one who's Megala. There are two different prototypes of Geulas that take place at the end of time. The determinant of which one will be operated, whether Klal Yisrael is Zocha or not Zocha, and that will then determine whether it's supernatural or based upon natural law in the ultimate historical phenomenon going to take place. Now, in Jewish history, in order to give you a tangible example of what's considered B'derech HaTeva and what's considered supernatural, so Chazal point out, if you want to see what is supernatural Zochut HaPigul is, Yitzias Mitzrayim is the paradigm example, an evil Amalek. If you want to see what the Gula Shalo Zochu is about, we also had one of these in Klal Yisrael's history, and that is the Gula took place upon the Ness of Purim taking place, where we had the Rishon HaMalchus of Cyrus and later Darius of the Persian Empire facilitating our return to Bayesheni, the helping of rebuilding the second Beis HaMikdash, the basically ability to defeat our enemies who were trying at that point in time to prevent our return to Eretz Israel and to rebuild the second temple and to establish the second commonwealth of the redemption of Klaus at that point in time. You see very, very tangibly the difference of when you do it through Hashem B'chvei Deviatzmo, and when it's done through Rishi Namalchus, it had to be done when it came to Purim, where you needed those who are in political power in the non-Jewish world to be participants and help us accomplish what we want to our return to Eretz Israel. So the Yitzias Mitzrayim and Purim are the symbols of a Gula Shezachu, that's Mitzrayim's Geula, Gula Shelo Zachu is the Gula taking place at the time of Purim. And the Chaim HaKadosh claims that Bilam was the one who was misnab about this in the pasuk we just read. He talked about supernatural geulos, he talked about natural law geulos, and both possibilities were mentioned by him in his nevuah, and that is basically what is being taught to us by this nevuah of Bilam in Pashas Balak in the psukim I quoted before. What is interesting to note, and this is a statement that is made none other but one of the great tzaddikim who lived between World War I and World War II, the Gadol Hadar I'm referring to specifically is the Chafetz Chaim B'chvoido U'biatzmo. He basically, in his period of time, when quite obviously he saw the events taking place, and the events that he basically saw were the following events, a lot of other Gedolim took note of, and I want to quote what events I'm referring to. There was, on the date of November 2nd, 1917, the leader of World Jewry, whose name was Rothschild, received a letter from Arthur James Balfour, the Secretary of State of Foreign Affairs of England, that was later called the famous Balfour Declaration. In it, the King of England said, His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national homeland for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this objective. This specific declaration of November 2nd, 1917, then became a mandate a couple years later on July 24th, 1922, when you had the establishment of the League of Nations, it was called the Palestine Mandate, and therefore they voted to basically bring into reality the promises made in the Balfour Declaration to give it tangible substance, and began the process of bringing the Jewish people back to Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Israel, opening to Palestine, as was basically agreed upon, going back to the statements made in the Balfour Declaration. When the Chafetz Chaim and other Gedolim saw this happening, so the Chafetz Chaim had a very interesting comment on this that I want to quote, just for the sake of the record, to hear what the major Gadol Hadar of that time saw in these events taking place at that specific period of time. What the Chafetz Chaim said, and this is a direct quote, is the following. The Chafetz Chaim wrote, Hagula Sida Ef Shetiyeh B'derech HaTeva, that the Gula Sida is possible it will take place based upon natural law. Ayde HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no saying, Belev, Malchus Olam, that Hashem will put in the hearts of the non-Jewish world, that they should basically help facilitate the ultimate redemption of the Jewish people and facilitate this specific process. When he saw this phenomenon, the Balfour Declaration, the League of Nations taking place, he saw it's going to be a gula b'derchateh, which means a gula shelo zachu, and he declared it as such in his writings on this specific topic. This is brought down in the Sfarim of statements made by him at that specific point in time. I do want to mention to you the Rameya Simcha of Davinsk, the famous Ar Sameach, unquestionably saw the same thing when he saw the establishment of the League of Nations fulfilling the Balfour Declaration. And he said, as far as he's concerned, this is the beginning of Geula with Rishi and Hamalchus. And quite obviously, he saw, therefore, that this basically is a total bittul of any of the shuas which I mentioned. The Gemara is seeming to imply that we have no right to return before Hashem gives us the ratzon to do such. The fact of the matter is that the gula shelo zachu, the ratzon is that the Goyish world have to acquiesce and help us, and he saw that taking place. Therefore, we didn't rebel against the Goyim. We basically didn't take it by force. And if that's the case, we had every right to return and to rebuild Eretz Israel. This is the Hashgachas Hashem taking place in the Gula Shelo Zachu. Likewise, the great Gadol, the Ostrov Sereba, the great Tzaddik from Europe and Poland, who was a Tzaddik who fasted for the salvation of his generation, what he writes is that to basically offset those who were criticizing the Zionistic movement to bring people back to Eretz Israel. The Mashiach's not here yet. So says the great Gadol, the Ostrov Sereba, this is brought down by the famous Rav Kasher in his name. He writes on the famous Medrash in Tanchuma that every nation has an animal they're compared to, and the Chazir is what the animal that's used to describe Malchus Edom. Why is the name called Chazir? So quoting the Lashon of the Ostrov Sereba, Shamach Zeres Atar Labala, that's going to return the crown to its owner. And what is the meaning of this Medrash Chazal? Shinisnabo Shalanotzrim, that the actual Christian world, who are the direct descendants of Malchus Edom, because ultimately the Roman Empire became the Roman Catholic Empire. They accepted Christianity as their religion later on by one of their emperors. And based upon that, the Notzrim we see today are capturing, before the ultimate redemption takes place, the land of Eretz Israel. It's taking it away from the sole control of the Yishma'elim, who are the robbers, quite obviously, who stole the land from the Jewish people. Yachzimenu Israel, they're returning it back to the Jewish people, its rightful owners. Kamosha Re'inu Shemeskayim Ato Bizmanenu. When he saw not only the Balfour Declaration, but he saw, ultimately speaking, he saw the mandate of the League of Nations. He looked upon this as a gula shelo zachu, Berishian Hamalchus. He brought a Medrash Chazal proving that this is a historical format of how the gula is going to take place, if it's a gula shelo zachu, and supported it thoroughly 100%. In the Hasidic world, you also have the famous Gadol, the Avnei Nezer, who likewise saw the Yad Hashem of a gula shelo zachu taking place in front of our eyes. He urged his Hasidim to make aliyah to Eretz Israel, to basically start rebuilding the land and going back to there. So quite obviously we therefore see that in the 1900s we have these major, major gedolim and many more gedolim in this, seeing the Yad Hashem and basically seeing as a gula shelo zachu when it comes to the format of how the redemptive process is in fact going to take place as we come to the end of dates. And since we're dealing now in the years that we're talking about, we're coming out to the end of the 2,000 years of Mashichius, coming up to the last 1,000 of the 6,000 years. So quite obviously, this is the Gula Shelo Zachu, who is taking place towards the end. And these Gedolim are representative of those Gedolim who saw the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu using the Goyish world to be the emissaries and the Metavchim and the intermediaries to bring this process to fruition. What I want to point out to you is Chazal who are always imbued with Ruach HaKodesh, even before this period, going back historically to the 1100s and such, you have the Ramban in his Perish to the Sefer Shir HaShirim. You have the Radak in his famous Perish to Sefer Tehillim, each one independently writing that what they see in the future when it comes to Klal Yisrael's Geula, it's going to be Geula through Rishin HaMalchus, which means they already prophesize that the Geula is going to be a Geula Shel Azachu, and therefore if that's the case, everything B'derech HaTev that has to be done to bring the Jews back will be done and orchestrated with the help of the Rabbeinu Shalom, Alev Malachim, B'yad Hashem. The hearts and minds of the non-Jewish world, the kings, are in the hands of God. He basically turns them in whatever direction he so desires to accomplish his divine purposes in this world. And therefore, those two Gedolim forecast that, who knows, 800-900 years later on, the Gula will be Gula Shel Azach, even though in their time, they weren't able to see any of this. Skipping to the Tekufa of the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov in the 1700s, they likewise saw the Yad Hashem doing things, and Eretz are becoming a place that you could fertilize. You can basically take the swamps and make them into fertile land to grow crops again. And upon seeing that, that was a simon to them that the Yemos HaMashiach was beginning. And based upon that, they urged their respective Talmidim to pick themselves up and leave Europe and make a leap to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, that's why you see in Eretz Yisrael so many places that follow the Minhag HaGrah based upon the establishment of religious Yesodos based upon his Talmidim who made Aliyah then. Likewise, when it comes to the Hasidish world, the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim went there. And that's why you find so many references to the Baal Shem Tov throughout Eretz Israel. These two Gedolim represented the godless of the Litvish world and the Hasidish world already started the process of a Gula Shel Azachu at that specific point in time. As I mentioned, what these Gedolim saw, I mean, not so much political activity, but actually agriculture activity, is also prophesied and mentioned in the Gemara on Daf Tzadiches on the top of the page. If you look in that Gemara, the Gemara says, Amar Rab Abba, Ein Lecha Ketz Megula Mizef. You want to know that the Ketz, the end of time, and the Mashiach is around the corner, and Begula has begun, what's the definitive proof? Shenema Atem Hari Yisrael, Anafchem titenu pirichem tisu am Yisrael. When you see Eretz once again leaving its state of being a wasteland, a shemama, and becoming a land that's once again Eretz avaschal of davash, this is the greatest simin that the gula is coming and the actual gulas has ended. Rashi comments megula mizeh kishitita Eretz piria ben yafu, when Eretz was starts to produce once again its agricultural capacities, as yakar of haketz, that means the end of days is coming near. Ein lecha ketz megula yosef. There's no greater vision of redemption than this activity taking place, and therefore this spurred on the Vilna Gaon, the Baal Shem Tov, and others to urge their constituents to therefore make and prepare themselves for the ultimate redemption, realizing it's around the corner, it's about to take place. Get there, do what you have to do to facilitate this specific process itself. Very interesting, very historical, and very, very powerful. What I do want to mention, as we go further into this topic, and it's a very fascinating topic historically, is that ultimately, unfortunately, you know, we have to deal with the Nevuahs concerning the concepts of the Milchemes Gog Magog, which are mentioned twice in Tanakh. And what's interesting is Rav Chana Wasserman records that between World War I and World War II, the Chafetz Chaim called his chief Talmidim together, and he wanted to give them his last will and testament to explain to them what's going to happen and when Gog Magog is going to take place and what events are going to be there for Simonim of the Mashiachias taking place, the ultimate redemption. So he told his Talmidim, when you look in the Midrashi Chazal, especially the Midrashim and Sefer Tehillim, you find that the concept of redemption of the Jewish people is not a one-time Milchemes Gog Magog, but there's going to be a three-part Milchemes Gog Magog. The first Milchemes Gog Magog, said the Chafetz Chaim, was World War One. He said the second Milchemes Gog and Magog, which will be even worse, is going to be Milchemes Gog and Magog, that's going to be World War II, which the Chafetz Chaim never saw and witnessed. But he basically warned people that it's going to take place, and therefore realize it and understand it's going to be a very difficult tekufa. In fact, he urged Kleisel then to leave Europe and go to Arizona to save yourself from the trials and tribulations and the terrible things that are going to happen in the European continent. He gave a forewarning before he passed away. He even urged Jews to go to Arizona and buy land there and start settling the land, as his son writes in the biography of his father, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, the Chafetz Chaim. So the fact of the matter is, and what's going to be the third part of Milchemes Gog u'Magog, when you see the Christian world and the Muslim world fighting, Mi Beresh, at the end of time, and the Muslims are trying to destroy the Christians and Christians and Christians. When ISIS came along, they decided to make a Milchama with the Christian world. Many say that's the Milchama that, in fact, the Chafetz Chaim was referring to. When you have that type of animus between the Muslim world and Christianity, and they're trying to kill the Christians and take total control of the world at large, that's actually the harbinger and the ultimate Milchemes Gog u'Magog that we're going to confront and face at the end of time. It's going to be frightening, it's going to be dangerous. We're going to have weaponry at that time, which we never had before in mankind, that can threaten the existence of the entire world. In fact, there's a Medrash Chazal, a Medrash Tanchuma, that quotes that the king of Iran, the heads of Iran, are going to threaten the entire world at that point of time. They're going to want to take over the world, master the world, and threaten the world with destruction. Even the Melech of Arabia, of Saudi Arabia, and other Arab countries are going to fear the craziness of this Iranian government. So therefore, Malchus Paras, the concept of the Iranians, are going to be a threat to world safety and security and religion and everything else. And the whole world is sitting and saying, how are we going to do this? How are we going to fight them? Now we see that they have the possibility of getting atomic weapons. We understand the fear and trepidation which the Medrash thousands of years early were portrayed as going to confront us in the actual script of the ultimate redemption. And Klal Yisrael, in this specific Medrash, comes to Hashem and says, Hashem, what are we going to do? How are we going to be saved? And Hashem, in that specific Medrash, says a very, very powerful thing which I want you to walk away with today. The Rebbeinu Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, my dear Am HaNivcha, listen to me very carefully. The whole world that I created from Briyas Olam was because I saw in the future, Hashem is Reges HaNeilad, that there's going to come into existence not only the others, but ultimately they're going to be the progenitors of Klal Yisrael, who later on are going to mekabel the Torah. In fact, the word of Bereishis Bara that we have in the beginning of the Torah, they quote that the word Bereishis is an acronym of Beis, Birishona, Reishtins Ra, Aleph stands for Elohim, Shin stands for Shiakablo, Yud stands for Yisrael, and Tov stands for Torah. Birishona, Ra, Elohim, Shiakablo, Yisrael, Satoh, when Hashem saw the clouds are going to mekabel the Torah, that gave a strengthening and chizuk to Briyat Olam, a purpose for Briyat Olam, that Hashem is mechadish b'chol yom tamid, ma'aseh bereishis, as we say in our davening. So therefore, he said to Klal Yisrael, to the Jews, the whole world exists because of you. Do you think I'm going to allow you to be destroyed, that the world was created for you because of these crazy maniacs? I will make sure that we'll eradicate the threat of Iran. They will be destroyed. They'll be eradicated if they don't do tshuva. You will be saved. You just do what you have to do, b'derech hateva, in trying to defend yourselves and spiritually making yourselves worthy for Hashem's hashgacha pratis to defend you and protect you and give you all that you need when it comes to your ability to survive and thrive and be zochah v'yimos HaMashiach. The Rabbeinu Shalom told Klal Yisrael, I'm going to take care. I'm in control of human history. And I will make sure that you, at the end of days, will have the redemptions I promised you in Tanakh, whether you're worthy or not. But try to do as much as you can to be worthy, to make the gula as painless as it possibly can be. It's a very famous Medrash Tanchuma. And it's also brought down in the Yalkut Shimoni as well. So getting back to the topic at hand, what I want to point out to you, if that's the case, many of the events that are taking place in front of our eyes presently in the world at large, we see, in actuality, the kiyum of many of these nevuos that were mentioned to our forefathers going back to thousands and thousands of years. We see that Chazal looked upon our redemption in our period of time as the Geula Shel HaZachu, with the help of the Rishi and Hamalchus, and don't think only the non-Jewish world were involved in soliciting the non-Jewish world's help, but we have an Eidos, a testimony from Agudas Yisrael in the history texts of that period of time, that their great leaders were also involved in lobbying the non-Jewish world to help facilitate the return of the Jews to Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild Eretz Yisrael. And we even have a statement that is made explicitly by the heads of Agudas Yisrael at that point in time, in which they basically tell their constituency that when they saw the UN vote take place, the UN vote that took place in the General Assembly November 29th, 1947, they then saw the declaration of the state by Ben-Gurion on Friday, May 14th, 1948, and then the ultimate breaking out of the major war of all the Arab nations coming at once to destroy Klal Yisrael from every side. And they saw that Klal Yisrael were not prepared. We didn't have an army yet, like we have today. We didn't have all the weaponry. We had mamish no weaponry compared to the weaponry that was possessed by the Arab world. And everybody who was a better bet that the Goyish world, the Arab world, would decimate the Jews and destroy the entire Jewish people at that point in time. Total genocide. Even people in our State Department told this to Truman, who had voted in the UN to establish a Jewish homeland. Nevertheless, despite all the forecasts of destruction, 2 years after the Arabs started a war with us, they begged for an armistice. At the end, therefore, the Jews won this war. This was a miraculous phenomenon of Rabbi Maviatim on a level that was never seen in world history before, a tremendous miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when Aguda records this in their history text, or Friedensen, he quotes the Pasuk, Me'es Hashem Hayes HaZos, He Niflos Peineinu. This is a miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he urges the Agudas Yisrael, the heads of Agudas Yisrael, that we should get involved in this Medina, establish it, that it should be based on principles of Torah, in Shmirah Shabbos, in Kashrus, in education, and other types of areas, that if we're going to have a Jewish homeland, it should have Torah at its heart core. Deals were made with Ben-Gurion and other secular leaders to allow the religious people to have control on certain institutions to make sure Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha base, which quite obviously is what Aguda perceived as the reason Hashem allowed this miracle to take place. So quite obviously we therefore see from all of this that we're living in a tekufa of a very, very unusual geula, a geula shelo zachu. But as I mentioned before, when you have a geula shelo zachu, it's bederech hateva. It's compared, my dear Tamid and Tamidas, to an ani reichav al hachamar, a person who's a poor man riding on a donkey. I told you, you feel every bump in the road. And even though Eretz Yisrael has been around for over 70 years, there are ups and downs. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose momentarily in our battles and our involvement with our adversaries, particularly the Arab world, who are bent on our destruction. Soloveitchik, in fact, classified the Arab world today in his very famous Maimer Koldo Di Dofek. He called the Arab world the remnants of a Moloch in this world whose major ideology is to destroy the Jewish people and eradicate them from the face of this earth. He referred us to various kapitlach in Sefer Tehillim that talk about the Ishmaelim basically, you know, trying to figure out how to get rid of the Jewish people forever and forever, very similar to what was the design of the Persian Empire. Rachashverosh, together with Haman, a remnant of Amalek, tried to get rid of us at that point in time. They didn't succeed then, and then that, and that didn't succeed now. We say it in the Brisbane of Asarim on the night of Pesach, when we pick up the cup of wine, middle of the Seder. In every generation, we have our opposition, but Hashem is matzil us. He saves us from the terrible, terrible machshavas ra'as of these Roshayim, of these remnant ideological Amalekim in this world. And therefore, we're able to see the Yad Hashem every day in Eretz Yisrael flourishing in every capacity you could possibly think. Look at the amount of yeshivas and Torah being learned in Eretz Yisrael today. the boys' yeshivas, the girls' seminaries. Look at Amir Yeshiva. Look at, it's simply incredible. It's a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and the amount of Teredika Jews that are now inhabiting Eretzol, and each year it becomes more and more. The ultimate statistics are, in a couple of years, the majority population in Eretzol will be Shemit Teirah V'mitzvahs. So we see a change. Sofi Solasas Shuvah, as the Ram says. That when it comes to redemption time, we might not start off as a generation of all Balei Tshuva, but it's going to start slowly but surely. Sofi Solasas Shuvah, the Ram says, in his Hilchas Tshuva. But getting back to the topic at hand, we therefore have to look at the present events taking place and realize, as I mentioned before, Me'eis Hashem Hayasazos, this is can only have happened, it can only take place with the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch behind the scenes, manipulating the events and making sure we're heading in the proper direction. It's not over yet. The aim and fear of the ultimate Melchemes Gog u'Magog is still upon us. The what we call lack of stability in the world because of the activities and statements being made by Iran, being made by the surrogates, the Hamas, and all the other crazy, fanatical individuals who would rather kill themselves and their children, but just to have the pleasure of destroying the Jewish people. We're dealing with people who are suicide bombers, people who are literally bent on destruction. We're living still in a very dangerous tekufa. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. We still have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishar Rachmanis upon us. And therefore, in Agula Shalom Zachu, we have to pray every day, say Tehillim, Achalkul V'chol Yom Sheyavo, to show Hashem that we really believe that one day we'll have the ultimate redemption take place in all of its manifestations. Slowly but surely, we see various things taking place we never believed before. One of the Nevuahs is that the Arab world, when we're our biggest son, and we're going to make peace with us, we already see many of the major nations of the Arab world who are suddenly many years ago and attacked us in 1948 are now basically our biggest advocates, our biggest friends. In fact, they're relying upon us to protect them against the world enemy, and that is the terrible, crazy, meshuggah nation of Iran with their craziness and their religious fanaticism. So quite obviously we're living in a very interesting tekufa. And Mirza Hashem, we will be zochu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya to see Nisim and Flaws take place in our time as well. The more people that come closer to Torah, the more we're going to go from a low zochu mode to a zochu mode, the more miracles we'll be able to witness and see. So therefore, we ourselves, Klal Yisrael, have to show the Rabbeinu Shalom how important Eretz Yisrael is for us in our hashkafa, in our beliefs, in our looking to the future. The Gemara says in Kesubis, Ish Ish Yulad Ba, that every Jew has to feel that if they can't live, would be born in Eretz Israel. If you're not a citizen yet, Metzapalaros, you have to show that you have a desire to want to be there one day and to show your love, your concern, your entire cheshek to support and keep Eretz Israel flourishing going forward and to ultimately live there and bring your mishpachas there. This is what Hashem wants to see. And hopefully with that type of his iris of Klal Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shalom will respond in kind and finally send us the ultimate redemption, the ultimate destruction of the Gog Magogs of the world, the enemies of the Jewish people and the world at large, and send us the Nechamos mentioned in the prophets when it comes to the Yemos HaMashiach with Shalom and Baracha throughout the entire world. The sun will be destroyed and those who are the friendly members of the non-Jewish world who want to live in peace with the Jews will be saved and be able to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the base Elohim and the Makom HaMikdash, the base of the Kehar Hola Amim. Let's hope and pray Mispala will be zochut to see this Geula. B'mhei Rabbein Amen V'Amen. Thank you for listening to me, Rabbi Isai. Have a wonderful day and be very matzliach. And when you read the Parsha of Bolak the Shabbos, you'll now understand what those psukim mean and how prophetic they are when it comes to historical events taking place in our historical period of time. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Be matzliach and Yetzah Hashem. Take care. Take care.
Thank you. Amen.
Everybody be matzliach and please send a message. The Mashiach is on the way. Rav Chaim Kanevetsky tells people he's not that he's coming, he's already here, he's just waiting to unmask himself. So if Rav Chaim feels that way, why should we feel any different? So take place. And one of the brachas of Yemos HaMashiach for those who have sick relatives is we're going to be zocher that all the sick people will have a refuah shleima by the Mashiach's coming. It's Pesach Mason. We'll see everybody being healed. So it's a good reason to look forward for these events to take place.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.